over plans to build an office block in the Markets area and erupted into a protest yesterday evening outside Belfast City Hall. Campaigners claim the area near the gasworks had been zoned for housing. Now, they pledged to continue opposition to the commercial development plan, which was approved by the City Council's Planning Committee last month. I want to speak, as you may have heard there a moment ago, to Padraig, Padraig O'Mishkill, who's from the Homes Now campaign. Padraig, thanks for joining us. Good morning, Padraig.
How you doing, Frank?
I'm very well. Some people would argue, of course, that another piece of business development in the vibrant gasworks area is bound to be good for the city.
Well, I suppose in isolation, without any context, it might sound okay. But, I mean, I'll give you a bit of background first, and then people may change their minds. I mean, locally in the Market area, there are 106 families on the housing waiting list. 86 of them are in what's judged to be acute housing stress. In 2005, the Belfast Metropolitan Area Plan zoned the Market or the Gas Yard Fringe Site for social housing. That was 12 years ago now. These families have been waiting 12 years for social housing to be placed in the area. A number of weeks ago, the Planning Committee in Belfast City Council decided that not only was waiting 12 years not enough, that now they were going to proceed with giving priority to private development on the land. So, I mean, whenever you put it in context, the issue is, I mean, who has priority here? I mean, is it the families on the waiting list, or is it a private developer?
And at this moment, there's a possibility that some form of legal action is going to be taken to try and stop this.
Well, yeah, I mean, the campaign are exploring a number of options. I mean, there are legal avenues being explored as well. Yeah.
And how many houses do you believe you could build or should be built there?
Our campaign states that we would like to see 150 homes put on the site. As I said already, there's 106 families in the Market area who are on the housing waiting list. Hundreds of yards up the road in the Lower Romo area, you have over 200 families who are on the housing waiting list. So this isn't just about purely local homes for local people campaign. What we are saying is, I mean, that the housing should be placed there and people in need should be homed in it. Not only people in the Market area, but it also might ease stress in other areas also.
And are you afraid to some extent of slowly losing the Market's ethos, the image of the Markets, the general atmosphere of the Markets if more and more skyscrapers or indeed office blocks are built?
Well, I mean, I'm sitting in the Market right now, and if you were to take a walk around it, you would very quickly get the idea that this community wasn't wanted in the city centre. If you start from where Central Station is and walk the semicircle around to where the gasworks site starts, what you have is an economic interface. You have a massive barrier between here and Central Station with no access apart from on the main road. You have no access from the Market community onto the Leg and Towpath. And then whenever you continue on round, you have no access from the Market community into the gasworks site either. So the gaswork or the Market community is something that has been increasingly walled off, and it's quite hard for the people in this area to accept the idea that this is all just simply an oversight.
There's a significant amount of land there, however, away from this particular site. There's so much brownfield land in that general area that surely there's still plenty of room for social housing.
Well, as it stands now, there is. The housing executive on record is stating that that nothing to be built on that land until a master plan is brought forward. So City Council are acting in contravention of the Housing Executive's guidelines also here. The initial plan the private developer has is to build another office block, but that is the beginning, not the end of what they're planning for the site. There is also a multi-storey car park planned, as well as an extension to the Radisson Hotel. So where does it end? As you said already, I mean, 2005 was the year when these homes were promised for people who were on the housing waiting list. We're now 12 years on. Not only have we no concrete plans for social housing on this land, we are now seeing the fact that they want to move ahead with multi-storey car parks. So I mean,
yeah, but they're also, as well as when you build a multi-storey car park, you're also helping with the parking problem that exists in the area. You're creating jobs for the builders who are going to build these car parks. Okay, you could create jobs by building houses, but you're also providing space for, I think, 500 office workers who are going to be employed there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And nobody in the market is opposed to the economic development of Belfast City Centre. What they're saying is that they would like their place in the city centre to be guaranteed as well. They're asking for an adequate standard of living. There are people sharing homes, there are people in hostels, due to the fact that Belfast City Council is now in contravention of its promises and is basically thieving land from people who are in need of housing and giving it to private developers. I mean, whenever you put it in the context of the fact that they want to build a multi-storey car park in the area, I mean, there are people on City Council who believe that a car has more right to a parking space than a family does to a home. I mean, does that strike you as fair?
So people do feel that they're being marginalised, that they're being edged out by big business?
No, it's not a feeling. It's an objective fact. I mean, if you look at the planning committee, whenever the town's own solicitor stated that the Belfast map of 2005 was still the relevant document, and they're now in contravention of that, it's on record that they are being marginalised, that they are being isolated.
And how difficult is it for those families, the ones that can't get the home that they're looking for? How difficult is day-to-day living?
Well, I mean, I think there's probably many people listening to your show this morning who either have personal experience of it or have family members or friends who have or currently are in that situation. Whenever somebody is judged to be in acute housing stress, it is acute stress. They're maybe sharing a home with another family, another family member. They're maybe in a hostel. You maybe have people sleeping on sofas, on floors. I mean, this is the situation we're at. It's not called acute housing stress for nothing. And it is, I mean, Belfast is suffering a housing crisis, especially in the inner city areas. It's not just the market. We've seen it in Hillview, said recently, in North Belfast as well. And what we're having is, I mean, that the private development has been given priority over the fact of people who need homes. And this is the situation.
Okay. Padraig O'Meskill from the Homes Now campaign. Thanks for joining us, Padraig. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Fred.
Thank you. Your opinions are welcome. 90333105. You're living in the markets area. Are you being dwarfed by big business and office blocks and the gasworks and whatever? Do you feel, indeed, that your way of life, to some extent, is being compromised? Do let us know. 90333105. 90333105. Let me speak to Councillor David Armitage, who is on the planning committee. Councillor Armitage, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
Yes, you're on the planning committee. It's very vocal, isn't it? The team that is speaking on behalf of the markets area. Where do you stand on this?
Yes, they are very vocal, and I think a lot of people do have sympathy with them as well. There is a great housing need in Belfast, not just in South Belfast, but North, West and the East as well. And it's something Alliance have been looking at as well. And I know Paula Bradshaw in the South is working on this as well. But in the area that you're mentioning, it is zoned for mixed use. So there's room for housing and there's room for businesses there. And I think this development takes up 20% of the land there as well. So there's 80% there that's used. That will be available for mixed for housing, social housing, if the plans come in. And I think that's a key thing. We haven't had housing associations or builders coming in with plans yet for housing. So that's I think that's part of the issue as well.
And is that down to the housing executive?
I don't think they build houses anymore, but it's probably down to the incompetence of Stormont not being up and running as well as part of the problem, so they can't lead on this.
So the people in the area who feel that they've got 105 families, I think Micheál was saying, that are really in dire need of new facilities, in the meantime, do they just have to live with their frustration?
No, there's plenty of ways forward with this. Part of it is to do with the delay in Stormont as well, getting things moving, and I know Paula Bradshaw, Alliance MLA in the area, is working on this as well. And something in council as well, I'm trying to get a motion going, see how we can do things better for the people of Belfast.
Yeah, but Portugal Mesa, you know, really does paint a picture there of so many families in the markets area who are having a challenging time, and they would like to see some of that land, certainly they would like to see as much as possible of it given over to housing, and they would this particular spot where the office block is going to be, they would like to see a lot of houses built there, and they feel that is of prime importance to the markets area, which in fairness is one of the oldest areas in the city.
Yes, you're correct there, it is, and there is a need there, nobody's denying that as well, and like I said before, that this is office building only takes up 20% of the land, so there's 80% there that can be used for housing if the plans come forward, and that's the issue on the planning committee. We can only deal with what's before us.
And are you encouraging other interested parties to come forward, or is there just simply not the business sense for them to come forward? You've touched twice on the fact that the Stormont executive isn't up and running, but it was up and running for a long time, and they still never built the houses that were needed in the markets.
Well, that's up to the big two parties to develop and work on that as well. But there has to be a good balance here between good housing and good business as well, because if you get housing, you need jobs for people to go and work so they can pay the rent and mortgage and stuff as well. So there needs to be a good balance. And one thing I do like about the development in the markets is that there is apprenticeship being offered in the local area as well. So it is providing jobs as well for the local community.
Yeah, striking the balance definitely seems to be a problem at the moment as far as the residents are concerned. Councillor David Armitage, thank you for coming on. Linda is on this line. Good morning, Linda.
Hiya, Frank. How are you?
Very well, Linda. Do you live in the markets area?
I do. I live in Stewart Street, the apartment block outside Central Station. And I was actually on another radio station at 8 o'clock this morning talking with David himself and Deirdre Hardy. Well, to highlight the problem, the social housing problem we have here.
Well, Linda, you're very welcome on our programme as well. What point do you want to make, Linda?
I just want to let people know about the housing stress around here. I live in an apartment block, a two-bedroom with my partner, and my daughter, who's nearly 12, and my son, who's 9 next month. They are sharing a two-bedroom apartment, cramped in a small room. My daughter's starting to go into adulthood, womanhood, and it's not suitable for her or her ability to share in a bedroom. And there's many people, many families. I know a girl in the market who's in a two-bedroom apartment with four young children, and it's not acceptable that they want to build commercial property when the site was zoned for housing. And I think it's against all our human basic rights to be able to live comfortable in a housing with children don't have to different sex children don't have to share a bedroom.
Yes, but there's so much fallow land there that surely they could build housing and they could build office blocks and other amenities as well. There's so much fallow land that you would prefer, obviously, the housing to be built first. But if the planners come forward, or the developers rather, come forward with an initiative where it's going to be an office block, well, that's what they go with. There's still a significant amount of ground available for housing. It's getting the people to build the houses that's the problem.
But Frank, you're saying about 500 jobs being occurred around here. It's the cars coming in, the fumes, and the health effect of the children. The asthma effect has went up from the people are parking around here. And my apartment block where I live, they actually park outside where sometimes we are blocked in our own apartment block and we can't get out. It's the fumes and it's congestion and it's people's basic way of life is being ruined.
So you're very proud of the markets area. And
I am. I'm born and reared here all my life. I'm a family. We have a long history of family that lived here. My mummy's 70 and she's lived all her life here.
So, but this is important. This is important, Linda, because you've got children who you say are in cramped conditions.
Yes.
Are you not prepared to move to another area where you would get a bigger house?
Well, my other idea is short-term. My parents look after my children. I work shift work. My partner works 9 to 5. So I need somebody to look after my children, get them after school. My daughter started grammar school on the falls. and my son's in the Irish school in the Armour Road, and I need my father to pick him up from school every day if I'm working late. And if I'm on early, I need my father to bring him up to school for me, so I need somewhere local.
So the family support, the family support is very important to you.
It's very important, Frank. And a lot of families around here who are in dire need of social housing, it's all the old families from the market. And they want to stay close. We want to keep us as a community. So we do. And we are a very tight community around here. And we look after each other. And we all know each other around here. And that's the way we want to stay. We don't want people moving out who've been living here for years and years and destroy this community around here.
It's an interesting pitch, Linda. It really is, because you're obviously a markets girl to your heart, to your absolute,
I am, yes.
To your absolute core. Needless to say, as the Councillor Armitage said, some initiative has to be driven forward to see housing built. There's plenty of land, but the initiative is going to deliver an office block as opposed to housing. And it's not the first time we've heard about this on the programme. Linda, thanks for the call. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. It's
Bye.
A very stout argument that she's putting about community spirit in one of the most respected areas of Belfast. However, is she entitled to cling to that spirit? Or do you have to go with change? Your opinions. 90-333-105.
Your point, your platform. The Frank Mitchell phone-in for you.
And before the news, a quick word from a gentleman called Bill, who's on line 4. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Frank. listen to your programme here. Listen to that girl, Linda. I mean, there's quite a lot of people who want to grow up in areas and wanted to stay in the areas. We only have to go along the Albert Bridge Road there, in the Newton Irish Road area, where they knocked down thousands of homes. And people had to move out of the area, and then they ended up building like the Collins Water, the industrial parks, commercial blocks, office blocks. People accepted that and moved on.
Yeah, but Bill, there's plenty of land in the markets, loads of land. Why don't they build social housing?
Frankly, there was no outcry when they actually put up like the BT building, the Hilton Hotel, which upped the price of their homes. They accepted that and said, yeah, this is good, all good, all good. But when it comes now, it gets not so good. Let's go down the other road. People, you can't stay. You know, if you want a house on the lone road, you have to pay for it. You know, at the end of the day, and the property's not there through the housing association, to the housing executive, here the bodies may be, you have to go further afield. You have to move out. I mean, you can't. If everyone took that attitude and took that stance, the status quo would be no movement whatsoever. Everybody want to live and talk to each other. Yeah.
Bill has no sympathy whatsoever for Linda and the plight of the people in the markets. Your opinions are welcome. Criticism for Bill, who was on a few moments ago, saying he has no sympathy whatsoever for the residents of the markets area. And just because housing was demolished in other places doesn't mean that the markets should lose out to big business. Councillor Deirdre Hargey is from Sinn Féin and she's on the line. Councillor Hargey, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
The markets area, is it so special that it needs additional protection?
Well, I think all inner city communities need their right to the city to be heard along with businesses and along with others. And particularly this land, which is owned by the public, by the taxpayer, was zoned in its entirety for housing. There has been a commitment for over 10 years where the council has been telling us that they will deliver homes, yet nothing has moved. In fairness, the local community there and the Homes Now campaign have tried to engage the council on securing how many units would be located on the site, and nothing has changed. When a private developer came forward, they done everything they could to assist that developer for the office block without giving a commitment to homes. And I know Councillor Armitage was on earlier saying that there's ample room on the rest of the site. But again, they forced through a master plan for the site, which again gave no commitment to housing. Now, I know a previous caller there said, well, they can move elsewhere. But the reality is Belfast City Council, under the Belfast Agenda, said that they want to grow the population of the city by another 70,000 people. How on earth are we going to do that if there is land zoned for housing? We're not given any commitment to homes.
So who comes forward to build the houses, Deirdre Hargey? Who comes forward to build this social housing?
I know that there's been a lot of fake information that has been given out that the land can't be built for housing, that no one's come forward. We have always been told by council, and the housing executive agreed with this, that no application should come forward or be considered until a master plan is agreed, which would show the housing mix with other uses. The residents took the council's word in good faith, and they now feel that they were screwed over. because whilst an office block has been given the go-ahead, there has been no commitment to houses. The housing executive's position was that no application should have been considered until the master plan was agreed. Once the master plan was agreed, the housing executive would then invite housing associations forward. So I do believe that the community and the housing executive acted in good faith in agreeing and wanting a master plan agreed. And it was the council and the planning committee that let those residents down. If Belfast wants to grow its population, and that's a good thing, the city is actually saying we want more people living in the city centre. But if we're taking land zoned for housing in an area of high housing critical need, where are we going to put people? It flies in the face of the Belfast agenda and this promise of growing our population and being a city to compete with other cities. It doesn't make sense. And I think the residents' demand is just. I think it is measured and it is balanced. Show us the number of housing units that are going to be delivered on that land, because they don't have trust in the council or certain parties and politicians at the moment because they have been let down. An office block is going ahead, yet there is no commitment on the number of homes.
But for a major housing development to happen there, we need direction from Stormont for this, don't we?
No, and I think that's a nonsense and that is just smoke and mirrors. The housing executive, as the public body, has the authority to do that. There are housing associations in this city at the moment actively looking at land in order to develop on. There are a number of housing associations. The League of Credit Unions in Ireland have also said that they would like to put money into developing homes in the city. What the housing executive were waiting on was a master plan on this site to be agreed to look at how many houses were going to be delivered. And unfortunately, council have failed in their promise to deliver or qualify the number of homes. They forced through a master plan, which we opposed, because it didn't detail the number of housing units. Why do homes have to come secondary to offices? Why does it have to be a competition?
But Deirdre Hargey, this office is only going to take up 18% of the land. There's still 82% of the land.
Why can't the commitment of homes be given now, Frank? There's a commitment given for office accommodation now. Why can't the homes be committed to now within the master plan? There is no commitment to the homes, and people have been promised this for 10 years.
Yes, but there's no one coming forward with the homes. The private developers coming forward with the office block.
What the housing executive were told by council was, we agree a master plan and then we'll bring everything forward together. That didn't happen. I am telling you now, there are housing associations waiting. They were trying to play the whole process right. They were told that to wait on a master plan being agreed, which would show all of the uses. And instead, council then, once this application came forward, decided just to go ahead with this application without delivering on the commitment to housing. This land is public land. This land was zoned for housing. And council willy-nilly changed that zoning without giving any commitment to housing. And I think that breaches all sorts of norms and values that we have as a society. I place a very important value on inner city communities that built this city. During the regeneration in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, it was these very inner city communities that stayed in the city. They added to the vibrancy of the city, and their part of the city needs to be respected. If Belfast are serious about growing the population, they need to commit to build homes now. And that includes on the Gasworks site.
And the 500 jobs that would be created for the office staff who would be going into those blocks?
We're waiting to see the figures on the jobs, because what we were told at the planning committee by the developer is that some of these jobs are relocation. So that's jobs that are already there that are just relocating to this site. Now, I do have concerns that we have a multitude of empty office blocks in our city core. There is actually an area to the back of City Hall that, under the Belfast agenda, which is the council's document, has highlighted the back of City Hall as being the main business district in the city. So why is an office development happening in and around there as well? We have empty buildings. We have buildings unfinished in this city because then rates aren't paid. Why aren't people getting into those empty buildings? That is my question, and I do query the figures. Building homes also builds the economy, it creates jobs, it creates a sustainable city. We know from other big cities, it's the people, it's the population that makes the city. No one is saying we're opposed to jobs, but we want balanced investment, and we feel that residents and people who need homes have just as much a right to the city as anyone else.
Do you think
we're
you'll
just
get,
asking for fair play.
Do you think you'll get much support for that argument, that the markets and the market's residents and the market's tradition is vital to Belfast?
I think inner city communities right around our city, whether it's the market, whether it's Donegal Pass, whether it's Carrickill, whether it's Sandy Row, have played a really crucial, important part to building our city, to sustaining our city. Even during the worst days of the conflict, those very communities stayed in our city. They invested in our city. They raised families in our city. They educated their children in our city, who now work in our city. And we need to repay those people. They have a right to our city as much as anyone else.
Because I do see some people on the text, two people referring to Sandy Row, Sandy Row residents feeling that they need what the markets are calling for. Are you supporting those residents every bit as much?
100%, and I think there needs to be, we have proposed an engagement within council to engage inner city communities that bound the city centre, because I do feel through regeneration, while there has been positive impacts, it has also dislocated those communities from the city centre. There has been physical barriers that have been put in their ways. A lot of them are working class communities that have social issues, housing being one, unemployment being another. But the way of actually engaging those is to bring them in, is not to isolate them further. A lot of them feel, we talk about interface walls in the city and the physical barriers, there are invisible economic barriers that inner city working class communities face. And I think it's time that we have to engage those communities, and the Belfast agenda should be doing that. And on issues and examples like the gasworks, they're doing the opposite. They're sending a message, and you heard that from the Homes Now campaign. They have a view, and I'm sure Donegal Pass and Sandy Row share that view, that they're not wanted in the city, that they're kept out of the city, that there's walls built to contain them within their communities. And I think we need to remove those barriers, both the physical barriers and the invisible barriers. They need to be taken down.
But they can't hold up progress either. That's the other side of the argument.
They're not holding up progress. What they're saying is their rights need to be met at the same time. So they're not asking to hold up. What they have said was a master plan should have been agreed, which addressed both rights. And that wasn't done. It was the residents' rights and the rights to homes that was not met. And as I say, this was a promise for over 10 years that these residents have been waiting on these homes, and they have been failed every time. We're asking the parties, those who forced through the master plan, are they now going to give a commitment to homes being delivered on that site? And if so, when is that going to come forward? I think it was a reasonable request from the residents and also from the housing executive. But it's when they were let down, they felt that they had to initiate this campaign, because they do have a right to the city as much as anybody else. It's the people that make our city, and we have great neighbourhoods in our city, and we need to promote and respect those neighbourhoods.
It would help, however, Deirdre Hargey, regardless of what you say about Stormont, if we had good governance here, and Sinn Féin's part of the problem with that.
No, well, I don't. Well, there is an issue of rights, and I think this issue just really shows where we are now. The right to have a home, the right to be treated as equal within our city. And that's the debate that needs to happen. Where is people's rights to the city? And that's one of the core issues here. I'm proactive on council. There are housing associations waiting. This is a decision the council could make today. Belfast City Council could make today. And Sinn Féin are the four of defending residents' rights in that area.
Deirdre Hargey, thanks for joining us this morning. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Right, 90333105. There's definitely a theme here with some of the people who are contacting us, including the likes of Councillor Hargey. And the point is that the community, whether it be the community on the Sandy Row or the community in the markets, the inner city communities need to be protected. Do they? That's the question I'm asking you this morning. It's a very stout argument being put that they absolutely do need to be protected, or they'll be dwarfed, lost in some future city. Davey's got a point. Good morning, Davey.
How you doing, Frank? Can I just commend Deirdre Hargey, first of all, for a wonderful speech here. Brilliant. I was a young lad in East Belfast up at Tollycarnet. My politics were, in the 70s, was a very dangerous place to live. My politics, I was serving my time in the gasworks in Bangmore Street, walked down Cromock Street every day. I worked in the markets. Those, I actually stayed in the markets then because of the danger of sectarianism. I slept on a settee belonging to Susie Callaghan, a wonderful woman. She's an icon. She's in her late 80s there in the market. And I tell you, Jim Harkey, the late Jim Harkey, that wee girl's father, he was a community worker. There was no such thing as sectarianism from those people from the market. They welcomed me with open arms. I stayed in their houses left, right and centre. I met my good woman in the markets, I'm proud to say. And those people, all they were asking for, you see, you have to understand the community spirit in the market. I went up to a wake of a good friend of mine. He was a good, great pal a few weeks ago, and they welcomed me with open arms. I hadn't been in the markets for years and years and
Debbie,
years.
I'm still trying to work out, when you said you're from Tullycarnet, are you trying to tell me that during the 70s you were working in the Lower Ormo area and you're a Protestant lad?
No, what I'm telling you is I was baptised a Catholic. My father came from the Shankill. He was a soldier. My father was a British soldier, a recruiting officer for the British Army. When we left England and came over, I was only a young lad serving my time. But my politics were left-wing. And my father and I, we didn't see eye to eye on this here. He came from the Shankill Road. And my cousins are, I have first cousins living all over East Belfast. So, yes and no. I mean, with your question there, I when I worked in the market, I served my time at the plumbing. The people welcomed me with open arms. East Belfast was a dangerous place for me because of my politics. And at the end of the day, the people from the markets welcomed me with open arms.
Okay, you make a very good point there, David. But David, just hold on. You make a very good point about salt of the earth people in the markets welcoming people, and of course the markets are a very troubled area, and many people are killed in the markets. Many violent people came from the markets, but there's a salt of the earth attitude about the markets. Does it need to be in 2017? Protect it the way that Deirdre Hargey would say?
Well, you've heard speakers saying there is problems. There's housing, social housing is badly needed in that area. And as I said earlier on, yes, the salt of the earth, and it would be irrelevant to Deirdre Hargey. She would support Sandy Row people as well, because they're all working class people with very, very, an awful lot more maybe than they realise in common. Unemployment. A social housing, a big issue in Sandy Row. I was going to say I would stand and support the people in Sandy Row, but I'm in a wheelchair. But I would go and support them at a protest if they were looking for service requirement ground to be built for social housing for that close-knit community. And at the end of the day, you heard Deirdre Hargey yourself, there are empty blocks all over Belfast. Come on, this is a fallacy about job creation.
So this is a very similar argument to what we heard in the Grenfell area where the tragedy was. This is a very similar argument that's been made.
Yes, I agree with you there. But as I say, I mean, I'm totally and utterly non-sectarian. I enjoyed seeing Northern Ireland last night. Brilliant to see the lads going forward. That brilliant. Does my heart good at the end of the day. But as I said to you, you know, you need the community spirit in the markets is such. People don't want to move out. They want to rear their families. And my father-in-law came from the market, a very hard-working man. He worked 7 days a week for his wee family and two up and two down. And they reared big families and that. And that's the community spirit that is in that area. It has to be seen to be believed, Frank. You trust me on that.
Listen, thank you. Thank you for a commentary. It's a very eloquent commentary on how you see the markets and how you saw it down the years. Thank you. As I say, your opinions are welcome. 90333105.
The Frank Mitchell phone-in on U105. Conversation.